Our guest's name and employer have been kept confidential to respect company policy and protect her professional standing. Ever wondered what really happens behind the airline counter before your flight takes off or when things go wrong? In this episode of EJ, The World of Travel, I sit down with an airline customer service representative. She takes us inside the high-pressure world of airport operations where timing, patience, and professionalism decide whether flights and tempers take off smoothly. Travel isn't just about movement, it's about discovery, opportunity, and the stories that shape our world. Welcome to EJ, The World of Travel, the podcast where we explore how travel connects people, businesses, and cultures. I'm Tony Doe, and every episode we bring you insights, trends, and real stories from travelers, industry experts, and entrepreneurs navigating the global landscape. So whether you're a frequent flyer, a business owner, eyeing new markets, or someone simply curious about the world beyond, you're in the right place. Let's take this journey together. Quick pause to say at EJ, we don't just talk travel, we actually live it. And behind this show is a team that knows the industry from the inside. This episode is powered by Global Links and Services Limited Travel and Tours. Since 1999, we've helped travelers book smarter, move easier, and explore deeper, whether it's a business trip or a local retreat. From flights and hotels to airport transfers and curated experiences, we're in it with you. We're just a call, click, or message away. Find us on Instagram at GLS Travels NG. Call or WhatsApp +234 803 520 0478 or +234 809 080 8442. Email info@globallinkstravels.com. Website glstravels.com. Global Links and Services Limited Travel and Tours. Let's discover the world. Now, back to the show. Take us behind the counter for a moment. What does a typical day in your role as a customer service representative look like?
A typical day in the life of an airline's customer service representative, also known as PSA, passenger service assistant, is busy. A typical day is busy and uncertain. Busy in the sense that from the moment you get to the airport, that's from the point of check-in for local flights, check-in commences 3 hours to the, 2 hours to the flight time. So that's something that is usually referred to as the two-hour madness on the shop floor, because that is the point everybody is on their toes. From the counter, as a check-in agent, you're trying to ensure that you check in your passengers. You have a lot of passengers right in front of you. You're trying to ensure that you check in the passengers on time into the right flight, and you do your due diligence in ensuring that you get your appropriate documentation. That's the documents they need, you need to view before they, you check them in. And you also advise them concerning what to carry, what not to carry, why you're not carrying these, what you need to do before we can check you in to enable us to get this item from you and then send it in for loading, all of those things. So the counter is usually like one of the busiest areas at the airport during the 2 hours, those 2 hours of check-in. And it's not just the check-in. There are other bits such as the boarding gates. That's where the boarding gate agent works, getting your boarding pass and boarding the flight. There's also the ramp officer. There's also the ramp CSR. That's the ramp customer service representative. We call them the ramp officer. That's the person beside the aircraft, just by the aircraft, the last person that does your ground checks besides the airline's security personnel. The ramp CSR is there to ensure that the airline's security personnel, the ground handling agents, staff, and every other person, you know, perform their task optimally, because everybody is actively engaged to ensure that this flight does not just depart on time, but everything is done properly and safety is considered in all of it. Safety is prioritized. So that's the typical day. A typical day is also uncertain because you come to work, you resume, but you may not know when you will return home. You may not know. So every time you're done with a flight and the flight departs, it's not just hooray at that point. You're happy your flight has departed on time. Something good. However, you only relax a bit when your flight has arrived safely and then all passengers have disembarked and they have all of their luggage intact. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing forgotten. Everybody goes on with their luggage. That's when you've had a successful operation for that flight.
How did you find your way into aviation? And what made you choose the path of customer service?
I didn't know I was going to work in aviation industry. I didn't know I was going to be a customer service. I had always wanted to be a radio presenter. I loved radio. I loved radio so much that I used to tell somebody when I was serving, I served in Kogi State. Like, Kogi is not really a place that you would like to live in if you're not from there. And I used to tell somebody when I was serving that even if you take me to a village and there is nothing and I have to be a radio presenter and there's light and water, I would live there to work in radio, like in a radio station. That's how much I loved being a radio presenter. But somehow it turned out that I did not get to be in the radio because I was just a young girl. I had a passion, but I needed to survive. And two of the radio offers I got in Akwa Ibom then, where the pay was nothing to pick up a pen. I know you've heard of the, we know of the expression, the nothing to write home about. This was not, the pay was not even, was nothing to pick up a pen. As you need to pick up a pen to even write home. This pay was not enough to pick up the pen to even write. And I kept having the challenges. Like every time I got to do something in radio, you know, I was just coming in. It was like more like free jobs. And if I was staying with my parents, if I had my parents providing for me, or I had, you know, I had a means of survival, I would have stayed with radio. But because I needed to do something, a job, I needed to do a job that would pay me, at least take care of my basic needs, I just realized that radio was not for me. I have the passion. Maybe I would do broadcasting in a different way soon, but certainly not in a traditional radio station. And after that, and I was in one media house, so I had to leave there because it wasn't it. I lost myself. I realized that it wasn't going to work. So I left there. I had resigned from that job and I was back home. In fact, I was frying potato chips. I preferred frying potato chips to sell than doing that job. So I was just home. And one day I saw the opening, air hiring, CS house, and diseases. I didn't want to apply because I just felt, oh, the usual thing. These people, I'm sure they've picked up the people they really want to work with, and it's not going to work. I don't know anybody. I don't have anybody. So I saw it on Monday. I disregarded. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, a friend, a senior person I respect so much, reached out to me. And it's like, oh, I've been seeing this opening. I think it's something you can do. You can do customer service now. Go and apply for the job. And I'm like, oh. So because I respect him, this is not, I know some person will say, oh, maybe the person works there or you know somebody. No, this person was actually calling me from the village. And, you know, I just came back from service and he happened to be one of the persons that supported me while I was in school. So he couldn't wait for me to just find something doing to find my feet. And out of respect, I only applied for that job out of respect for him. I applied an hour to the deadline. And 2 months later, I think a month later or thereabouts, I got an email to come write the aptitude tests. And after that, there was another mail to come for the group interview, another mail inviting me for interview. And finally, I got that email inviting me to commence training that had been selected. The process was like, the process was something else. But trust me, for me, it was a due process. It was thorough. I did not think I was going to get a job. We were so many. And so far, it's been an experience. It's been different. You know, you learn every day. Different, you know, the changes that comes, the adaptation, the changes, and it's so much. It's been fun. I love it here. And I'm looking forward to growth. But so far, I think I have learned so much being a customer service representative.
In your own words, what defines excellent customer service in today's airline industry?
I think excellent is really like very, very extreme. Excellent is like, it's like stainless, flawless. So I think I would rather work with superior customer service, because in the industry, though the aim as customer service in the industry, though the aim is to satisfy your customers, but sometimes you may not get to do everything a customer desires. A customer will rate your service excellent if you get to do everything he or she wants. But sometimes you're not able to do what or to do everything they want. For some reason, the weather is bad. We can't fly. So we have to adjust your flight time. You're upset. You have an interview somewhere and somehow we have messed up your schedule, your plans. No matter the explanation, no matter how you try to simplify the reason for a delay, a customer can never rate you as excellent. They know you're doing something good, something right, but they are not that satisfied because you've not been able to do what they want you to do at the point they want you to do it. So I think superior customer service for me does it, because it means that we are on our toes trying to ensure that we serve you. As customer service in as it pertains to aviation for me is keeping to the terms of contracts. Keeping to the terms of contracts. The moment a customer purchases a ticket to travel with an airline at a particular time, there has been an establishment of contract. The ticket purchased is a proof of the contract, which means as an airline, we owe you a responsibility of moving you from point A to point B at this time. If we fail to move you from point A to point B at the time we agreed on, we failed. We've not kept to the terms of contracts. If we move you from point A to point B, but it is not at the time you agreed, we failed. If we don't get to move you, we failed. So to me, the superior customer service is the ability of the airline to keep to the terms of contracts with their customers, moving them from point A to point B at the agreed time. And being able to resolve issues. If you're unable to move you from point A to point B at the time we agreed, what are we able to do to compensate you? Oh, fine, it's a disruption. It's a midnight flight. We can't take you there. There are compensations. There are ways to, how have we been able to compensate you? How have we been able to communicate the reason for this contract not being kept? All of that to me is customer service. At the end of the day, I feel superior customer service is when you leave happy that we have done something for you, we've kept to the terms of contract, and you wish to come back. So it's not just about the service, it is also about the retention. Do we treat you in such a way that you hope, you wish, you look forward to patronizing us again?
Can you recall a moment where you had to turn a tense passenger situation into something positive and what you took away from that experience?
I have had a situation where I was at the check-in counter one time and a customer missed his flight. And so he comes to the counter, sorry, the shop floor, it's empty, and he's like surprised, why is everywhere empty? Then he gets pretty upset. Oh, like, sorry, you've missed your flight, ma'am. Can we reschedule you? No, I'm not going to. Actually, the flight had been rescheduled, you know, to depart earlier. And this passenger had been contacted, but he wasn't going to have it. And this, and that. Was shouting, no, I didn't get any updates. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. And he was pretty upset. And, you know, when somebody is trying to you've done something right and the person keeps telling you you didn't do the right thing, the normal thing is just like, we did this. So I just kept quiet for, like, I did not know what to say to this person anymore, and I just kept quiet. And he just shouted, and he kept saying, you're not even talking to me. And I said, sir, I want to talk to you, but you're not letting me talk to you. I want to talk to you, but if you keep shouting, I will not be able to talk to you. Sorry, you've missed your flight. And he said, no, you did not tell me. Well, we're sorry, you missed your flight. and this information was passed. He said, no, you did not tell me. So eventually I was like, okay, can I have your ticket? So I got his ticket, and it turned out, it was just very simple, it turned out that the details on the tickets belong to his son. His son, the son's phone number, the son's email address. Apparently the son booked the tickets for him. And we said, sir, we communicated, you know, to you through the contacts you had filled in. He said, no, we did not. So we're like, why don't you? So we booked the ticket. He confirmed the details to have belonged to his son. Okay, contact your son and find out. And then when he called his son, I think he actually put the phone on speaker and he said, I'll put it here for you to know, you know. And then he did that. His son was like, oops, oh, a mail came in like 2 days ago. Ah, I forgot to tell you. And that was just it. So the son had gotten that information somehow. He failed to communicate it to the man. And sometimes these are regular things that happen. He was so angry. I'm quite petty. I'm not such a huge person. And this man was very huge. He was really huge. And he was so angry. At some point, I felt like I should just disappear. And then he kept saying, so for me, I felt some, you know, somehow the silence worked. Not like silent treatment. But he was talking. Why did you not? I just kept quiet. Because I knew at this point this person was furious and he was just throwing some words at me and questions, hoping that I would respond, and then we're just going to keep exchanging the words. So when he noticed that I didn't say anything, all the while he was ranting and shouting and saying some pretty annoying things to me, he was like, you're not even talking, you're not saying anything, why are you not answering? I'm like, okay, sir, I want to answer you. If you want, I will answer you if you want me to. Okay, this is it. And somehow he listened. And somehow, if something like, sometimes there are situations that this would have, you know, turned into a chaos or something, turned into a chaotic, more chaotic situation. But somehow that works. And for a customer service representative, every time you have cases like this and you're able to handle it, it might look very minor, but it is something that's at the close of work, you're like, okay, good, thank you. That happened. There was no accident. There was no incident. That didn't have to escalate. And it works well at the end of the day.
Passengers often see only part of the process. What do travelers commonly misunderstand about what customer service teams actually do?
Okay, I think sometimes customers do not understand that it is not the intention of any customer service to treat you badly. I have had to speak with a customer over the phone who says, like, you keep doing this to me. I'm calling you with this number. Okay, I think he was required to call using the number on the ticket. And it's like, you keep doing this to me. He was just talking like, oh, we know you, Mr. This. And every time you call us, we're not going to do what you want. And we're like, no, we don't know you, sir. You just have to do the right thing. So customers, I think they need to understand that they need to understand that when service providers do some things, it's not against them, rather it is for them. You cannot carry a baggage with a certain weight on board, because you take it up there, you're not even able to carry this bag up, you know, carry it through the staircase, this, you know, steps of the aircraft. You're not even able to lift it and put it in the cabin hold. In the process of trying to force it into the cabin hold, you're going to destroy the cabin hold. Tomorrow you would travel and you will not want to use a damaged aircraft. So please check in your bag. Oh, we do not fly this liquid or these items because these are explosive and they pose danger, you know, to you and to other persons. So many things. And oh, your flight time has not just deliberately been changed because we don't want you to meet up with that big appointment. These things happen for a reason. And when they happen, it's always boils down to your safety. Sorry, your aircraft cannot move at this point because it is currently going through maintenance. And this maintenance was not really planned. It just happened. Something has been noticed and they need to work on it. But your concern about the time is understood. But we are concerned about you, about your safety. And sometimes, I know, some passengers understand this because they are passengers, you approach and like, okay, this is what is happening. It's like, I understand. But some persons know, they just don't want to take it. They are just angry. So when customer service gets to pass some information to you and this information does not sit well with you, it's not because we want to spoil your day. It's not because we want you to be sad or just to get you upset. It's actually because We care about your safety. We want to serve you. We can't lie to you. We can't tell you lies. We just have to tell you the truth. Ensure that you are aware of what is happening. It may not go well with you or sit well with you, but we mean well for you.
For young people who dream of working in aviation, especially in customer-facing roles, what advice would you share?
Okay, so for young persons who aspire to work in aviation, first of all, I do hope that someday I'll get to share some career mistakes that I have made out of ignorance, some mistakes I made out of ignorance, and the lessons I've learned so far in my 4 years in aviation. So for young persons who aspire coming into aviation, I will tell you, please have a plan. Have a plan. Okay, first thing first is, if you're coming in and you want to be a customer service provider, please be ready to take all the, how do I put it? Come in with the mindset that you want to render service, you want to help people, you want to serve people, and not that you want to be respected by your customers. Sometimes, most times, customers don't respect you. Customers need something. They want you to get something done. They don't think they need to respect you. And so if you're very big on respect, like, how can you talk to me like that? Because sometimes a customer might speak to you in a certain way and you may not be able to help it. It's a show. It's a show on your face, your expression, your countenance, your voice, your tone. So if you're coming into customer service, aviation in customer service, there are days you could get slapped. I haven't said that. Customers might assault you, and you're not permitted to assault. You're not permitted to slap back. You're not permitted to revenge. Customers might do all manner of things. So come in with the mindset of serving and do not expect to be respected. So that's by the customer. So that if you get respected by customers, you're like, oh, wow, that made my day. This customer was so courteous and respectful. That's good. But if you come in expecting that people respect you and talk to you just the way you want to be spoken to, you will get disappointed. Another advice is, please come in with a plan. Please come in with a plan. If you're coming in, I am personally of the opinion that one shouldn't stay too long in a customer service, direct customer service. That's how I feel. Because over the years, you absorb so much. So there should be a change so that you don't absorb all of these things from customers for like 5, 6, 7 years. At some point, your mental health might be at stake. So as young persons, you have the opportunity, you're coming in, please come in with a game plan. Okay, I'm coming in as a customer service. What's the career progress for me going to be like? Okay, certainly someday I would like to be a pilot. Okay, maybe if I come in this way, at some point I might want to go to aviation school, do this, do that, and all of that. So come in with a plan. Come in with an open mind. As a customer service person, sometimes you will be transferred. You can be moved from one state to another. You might have to be sent on relief duty. Oh, personnel are lacking in this region. You might have to go. Come in with, I don't know, be professional. Have a profession. Have a field in mind that you want to pursue, so that it keeps you on the go. Despite what you're going through, you know, what the customers are doing, there's something, you have an aim, you have a focus, that makes you eager to grow, and that keeps you going. If you do not have a game plan, you do not have career aspirations, at some point you will get stuck. You might get depressed because you have to face customers every day. Imagine having to do this for 2, 3, 4 years. So sometimes you wake up in the morning like, oh God, is this what I'm going to do again? But if you have something, if you're ambitious, despite what you're going through, despite how it is, the fact that there's something, there's an aim, you're like growing, you want to grow rather, that keeps you going and that keeps the fire burning.
Finally, when you think about the future of air travel in Nigeria, what changes or innovations excite you the most? And how do you see customer service evolving within that?
Well, what is exciting me regarding the future of air travel in Nigeria is the fact that if you look around, I don't think it's just in Nigeria. I think also outside, we've had less of crashes compared to when I was much younger, compared to when I was a child or when I was a teenager. We have much of less crashes, which means that over the years, we have been able to prioritize safety And I know that I do look forward to a time where safety would become a thing that is prioritized not just by the airline, but by the airport authorities. That the airport authorities and the airline will work in tandem. They work hand in hand. They will understand that safety for airlines to thrive in Nigeria, it has to be safe. There has to be safety. And this is not just the duty of the airline. It is also the duty of the airport. Most persons don't know that there's a difference between airport and airline. Because sometimes the airline is trying to do everything to, you know, to maintain safety, to uphold, yes, the safety culture. But the airport doesn't help. Oh, we don't fly this. Oh, we don't do this. You're not supposed to take in this. But sometimes the airport guys, you find them trying to do stuff behind the back of the airline personnel. And if you're not vigilant, something could go wrong. So I look forward to a more safety-conscious aviation sector and support partnership between the airline and the airports. That sense of ownership also by the airports, not just like, okay, this airline or that airline. They just know that, oh, this is the airlines is our thing. Without the airlines, I don't know how the airports would be like. So regarding customer service, I do look forward to when customers will get to understand that being served, the superior customer service that you require also begins with you. You would need to allow the airline to serve you, the person to serve you. Sometimes you need to ask questions, not just to draw conclusions. And when each customer will get to understand that they are kings and not always right. We've grown up and over time we've popularized that saying that customers are always right. I don't know where that happened. But where I come from, the airline I work for tells you that customers are kings. You cannot always be right. Even the president is not always right. Even the wisest and the most intelligent man on earth is not always right. You cannot always be right. So that mindset that customers are always right sometimes gives customers the leverage to come do all manner of things. And you're like, oh, this should not, man, you should not do it. Oh, yeah, I'm a customer. My customer is always right. You should listen to me and do what I want. Come on, it doesn't work that way. I do look forward to a Nigeria where customers and would understand that they are kings and not always right. A king, despite being the highest authority in a kingdom, is not the wisest, not necessarily the wisest, not necessarily the one who is always right. If he as a king was so wise, he would not need elders, he would not need advisors, he would not need his chiefs. But the king knows that he's the king. But he needs the chiefs. So allow the airlines to serve you as kings that you are. Do not have the mindset that you're always right. Because sometimes you don't know. You need to ask questions and you need to listen to the answers they provide.
Every ticket is a contract. Every flight, a test of service. Empathy and grace under pressure. My guest reminds us that behind every announcement and boarding pass is a person trying to keep promises in motion.
That's it for this episode of EJ, the World of Travel. If you found this insightful, don't forget to subscribe and share with others who love to explore the world in new ways. For updates, show notes, more travel insights, check out glstravels.com/podcasts or connect with us on social media at glstravelsng. You can also send an email to tony@globallinkstravels.com. Got questions or ideas for future episodes? Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep moving, keep exploring, and keep discovering your world.